Watching the Point with me, Li Xin. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be hearing from a leading visionary behind the geographic notion of Eurasia. Why does he believe that China and Russia should work together to build a multipolar world? Stay with us. Called him Putin's brain. Others have described him as the most dangerous philosopher in the world. Yet the political scientist and philosopher Alexander Dugin says that his native Russia has simply been pursuing a new path to define who the Russians are and where they're going ever since the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. While many ex-Soviet republics have sought closer relations with Europe, Russia envisions a different future. To Dugin, this is the concept of Eurasia as a counterweight to American domination and transforming a unipolar system into a multipolar world. Yet how does Dugin expect China to work with Russia to counter Western hegemony to create this new Eurasia? How are China and Russia expected to build their relationship to the highest level in history in the meantime? I'm pleased to be joined by Professor Alexander Dugin himself. Professor Dugin, welcome to The Point. Let me ask you, what do you mean by this idea of a Eurasia? You're one of the very strong proponents of this idea. So explain to us why you think it is important, exactly what it is all about, and what is the role of Russia and China in there?
So first of all, Eurasia is multi-layer idea, multi-layer concept. It's not easy to explain that. I have dedicated to that many books in order to explore what is Eurasia. Eurasia, first of all, it is idea that the West should not have hegemony in defining the universal standard. So, because West or Europe or the West in general is only part of the humanity, and the other part and the majority of the human beings live outside of the West in Asia. And Russia, in my opinion, is as well the meeting point between the West and the East, and that is our identity, our mission to bring together all part of the humanity in order to start the kind of dialogue. So our proper Russian identity is not Western. We are Eurasianists, but for example, China or India are Asian countries, Asian civilizations, and that is not the reason to underestimate them. Eurasia is an invitation to restore the dignity of all kind of society, Western and not Western, you put them in the dialogue.
Is there a geopolitical boundary of this Eurasia idea? Does it also include Western Europe, for instance? Does it include Southeast Asia, or it's European, it's Europe and Asia in total?
We could use the term Eurasia in geographic sense. In that sense, it includes Europe. We could speak about Eurasia only as Turanian place, as old Turan. Turan, that is the place of Chinggis Khan Empire or traditional Russia. That is a narrow understanding. Or we could include in Eurasia all parts except Western Europe that belongs to the West. But we could use as well the term of Eurasia as we are using the term the West. For example, we are speaking West. Japan is Western country. So Eurasian, to be Eurasian is to affirm our identity against Western hegemony. In that sense, we could speak about some Eurasianism inside of United States of America, in Latin America, in Africa, or elsewhere. So for Eurasia is a new concept that challenges the Western hegemony in general, opposing to this exclusivism of the Western culture, inclusivism of this dialogue of the culture. This is the defense of diversity.
It's not new for other civilizations to want to be at least on equal footing with the Western civilization, and yet to have this at least Central Eastern Europe together with parts of Asia as one block, as one identity. This is interesting. What makes you believe that this is going to work, that there is a common identity unifying these two civilizations, if you will?
I think that, for example, in the history, China was the great and independent civilization, not only country, civilization united around itself in the Tianxia concept, the other peoples and cultures. Russia as well was not only ethnic Slav country, that was as well civilization. And now these two ancient civilizations that belongs to, as well as India, but let us speak about Russia and China more first, because we represent these two ancient civilizations always struggling to be on the equal relations with the West, that was obviously more aggressive, more active. But now, for example, in the bipolar world, Russia and China, we belong to the socialist camp as well, trying in the modernity to reaffirm our identity and independence. And now we are using these evident crisis and catastrophe of the globalization in liberal way, this crisis of unipolar world and liberalism of the West, we are using now in order to restore our dignity. And I think that now we have two major factors here: the growth of independence of Russia and strategical position of nuclear weapon that is enough to grant to us independence and sovereignty, and rise, huge economic and political and social rise of China. So we have two elements of multipolar world, we have two pillars of Eurasia just now, and the only thing that rests to understand each other for Russian and Chinese. And that is precisely what is going on between our presidents, between our countries, between our peoples. We are in a moment, the crucial moment, we are living in the crucial moment of this emergency of Eurasia, of multipolarity, and at least two civilizations that are ready now to defend our independence and our autonomy.
I understand this theory is quite well received by the Putin government, by the Russian government, and it seems that the foreign policy that they're pushing forward is very much in line with that kind of theory that you just outlined. So for the West and for people in the West, what would it mean in a concrete terms that there is a rising Eurasian identity in to counter the Western identity?
I think that we have nothing against the West. We are struggling against Western hegemony. If the West will be the West as such, having its own values, not our, not Russian, neither Russian nor Chinese, but still having Western values, that will be okay, and they will find their own place in this inclusive multipolar vision. But the only thing they should sacrifice, the pretension, ungrounded pretension of universalism of the Western values. The Western values are local, Western, as well as ours. So we need to, they lose only arrogance. They lose their pretension to rule the other. They lose their suprematism, cultural racism. They lose in that multipolarity. But they could find their own identity precisely in our project, and that is why We have today the West is splitting, and a serious part of the Western power should reaffirm Western identity. We see that in the growth of populism in Europe that challenges this global liberal globalism in the European Union. But we see as well that in the waters for Trump, not maybe in Trump himself, but the electorate, the voters of Trump's voters are much more important than Trump himself, because they have voted for to stop interventions, to concentrate on their own country, and to return to them. So for that, in that sense, I think that Trump is Eurasianist in some way, or a European populism that is for Europe, or identitarian Europe. They could be considered as well in large sense Eurasianist, or for example, people who want to restore the greatness of India and return to the Indian identity, Islamic identity, African identity, Latin America identity. All there is the real multipolarity that will make damage only for maniac of this unipolar hegemony, and not to the other civilizations.
Russia is a very important part of this Eurasian. Basically, Russia straddles the two continents, right? And China is a very important player in the Asian side. And both countries emphasize this diversity, the importance of the recognition of difference. But how do these two countries find a balance in this Eurasian identity? Because there seems to be an understanding in some, in the eyes of some Western commentators, that there is a general nervousness among Russian officials or scholars about the growing influence of the Chinese state.
I don't say that it's easy to solve or create multipolar world. We need to start to accept the differences. We need to start to understand each other not only a superficial level, and to solve many problems, or to understand the reason and the sources of some fears, of some misunderstanding. It is not so easy. It is not. We could not say, "Oh, let Russian love Chinese. Let Chinese love Russian." It is not enough. So we need to understand each other as well with our differences, with our fears, our and we need, in order to overcome this, to create the balanced and harmonious Eurasia, we need to as well to define the zones of responsibility, the levels and layers of cooperation, and that is the process. I think that I am very optimistic.
With that, we come to the end of this edition of The Point with me, Liu Xin. As always, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter using the handle The Point with Alex. Download the application called CGTN to watch the show on your mobile devices, or go to YouTube and look for CGTN The Point. Thanks for watching. You've got the point.